You're listening to KCBX Central Coast Public Radio here on NPR One. Today in the United States, there are nearly 10 times as many mentally ill persons in jails and prisons as there are in mental hospitals. That's according to a recent Marin County civil grand jury report. And California's county jails have a particularly severe burden due to the closing of most of the state's mental hospitals. Today, we re-examine the 2017 death of Andrew Holland at the San Luis Obispo County Jail with a special segment produced by former KCBX reporter Bree Zender.
Tyler, just got your letter.
This is Sharon Holland. She lives on a ranch with her husband in a rural part of Atascadero, California, mother of four. She's reading from a letter that one of her sons, Andrew, wrote in 2008 to her older son, Tyler.
Thanks for writing. I just got out of isolation, close to 3 months down. I've got that scraggly beard that you like. Feels good to be out of the dungeon. I'm waiting to go to Atascadero State Hospital, back to the loony bin. Oh well, I'm not too upset about it. I'm just kind of rolling with the punches at this point. That's crazy you wrote me. A couple days ago, I was thinking to myself, why doesn't my bro write me? Then I stopped myself and I said to myself, how many times have you written him? You're interested in a girl, I hear. That's cool, but when did you start liking the female gender? Smiley face. No, seriously, I really do miss you and the family. It's hard to explain what I'm going through. It's weird because sometimes when I'm out of jail, I feel like I'm more in prison than when I'm not in jail. I'll have a dream that I'm in jail and can't get out, only to wake up there. I don't really know what to think about God anymore. I don't understand why he would allow someone to suffer as much as I have. I read on the internet that schizophrenia is not curable. They can numb it a little with medication, but other than that, it's like a cancer without a cure. Tyler, I'm telling you this because I really want out of this life. I'm not saying that I'm planning on killing myself. I'm just saying if it were to happen, be happy for me and know that I really do love you and will see you in heaven. I know you're going to be there because if you weren't, God's got some explaining to do. Anyhow, Tyler, I love you. Thank you for being my brother. You'll always be in my heart. Keep your head up, Drew.
Nearly 9 years after Andrew Holland wrote that letter, on January 20th, 2017, San Luis Obispo County Jail officers took Andrew from his solitary confinement cell and strapped him naked to a restraint chair. They wouldn't let him stand for 46 hours, not even to use the toilet. According to two different autopsies, he died of an intrapulmonary embolism, a 5-centimeter blood clot formed in his leg and traveled to his lungs. The county's senior deputy coroner ruled the manner of death as, quote, natural. According to a second autopsy, the clot formed because he couldn't stand for nearly 2 days and it ended up suffocating him. He was 36 years old. Over a year has passed since Andrew's death. The San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's Office says it's made changes in how mentally ill inmates are treated in the county jail. The Holland family says had they not insisted on an outside investigation, it's possible the true details of how and why Andrew died would have never come to light. The Holland family has set roots in San Luis Obispo County. Cardi Holland and his brother Ron owned a family contracting business together. Cardi and his wife Sharon raised 4 kids alongside his brother's children.
So can you tell me what your name is and what's your relationship to Andrew Holland?
My name is James Tavener Holland. I go by Tavener or Tave. And Andrew is my cousin, my first cousin.
Tave says he, his 2 siblings, and Andrew, along with Andrew's brothers and sister, Corbin, Tyler, and Elena, were close growing up. Tave was about 3 years older than Andrew.
We were cousins, but we grew up as kids much more like siblings. You know, 1 week it seemed like my Aunt Sharon and Uncle Cardi had us, and the next it was my mom and dad, and whether we were down in the creek playing or riding bikes or causing trouble, whatever we were doing. You know, we tended to do it all together.
Tave says Andrew specifically watched out for him. When Tave was a sophomore in high school, he missed nearly a whole year of school after coming down with valley fever. It got to a point where he couldn't rise out of his bed unaided.
Andrew would come by to see me, and as I got a little stronger, he would encourage me to get out of the house and go take a hike in the creek with him, or, you know, go downtown. And he, you know, probably more than anyone, really just constantly showed up.
Tave says Andrew was around 12 or 13 at the time. Andrew was a gifted athlete, surfing especially. He and his family would travel looking for the best place to surf. His parents say he started expressing delusions when he was around 18 years old. This is a typical age many people start showing symptoms of schizophrenia. Here's Andrew's father, Cardi.
It would vary. It didn't always look the same, but he would start hearing voices. He would start getting being very, very paranoid. Just delusional.
Cardi and Sharon say Andrew began self-medicating around the time he first developed symptoms of schizophrenia. This became a recurring pattern in his adult life.
Andrew, oftentimes, as he would begin to decompensate off of his medication, if the medication wasn't working quite right, or if he would find himself starting to hear voices, a lot of times he would then turn to alcohol or whatever he could find. And it would begin to make him feel better for a very short period of time. And then he would really crash, because then he would stop taking his meds altogether.
His family members say Andrew's paranoia often centered around authority figures, particularly police officers. They say the only times he was violent with others was if he felt threatened by an authority figure. His family says this symptom of his mental illness got him in a lot of trouble, cycling in and out of the criminal justice system. And when he was in jail, and the right medications often limited, he found himself in more trouble.
Well, let's just say that if a guard came to his cell door and asked him to step out of the cell, he's talked to us about that. He said, I thought they were coming to kill me. Well, that's not a rational mind. If a guard comes to your cell and says, step out, we want to take you to go shower, we want to do this or do that, but in his delusion and the voices, they're coming to kill you.
For years, Andrew revolved in and out of many places, from the jail to Atascadero State Hospital, to the county psychiatric health facility, to his family's home, and sometimes the streets. The last time he was in the county jail because of a September 2015 incident. Andrew was arrested and charged by San Luis Obispo police with resisting arrest, with force and battery on a police officer, and a parole violation. The Holland family alleges he was kept in solitary confinement at the county jail for nearly 14 months. According to the American Psychological Association, increasingly laws are being passed making it illegal to place mentally ill inmates in solitary confinement. Numerous studies have found the conditions of solitary confinement can severely exacerbate symptoms of mental illness. When asked about Andrew's time in solitary confinement, the San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's Office would not comment. The county coroner's report states that between the time he was arrested in September 2015 and the day he died, Andrew was transferred once to the county's psychiatric health facility for 5 days, then returned to the jail. On January 20th, 2017, he was ordered to be committed once again to the psychiatric health facility until, quote, his mental competency to stand trial was restored. Then 10 days later, he was still waiting transfer when the jail staff allegedly saw him punching himself in the face. And that's when they moved him from a holding cell and locked him into the restraint chair for the next 2 days. After he was released from the chair, he was placed in metal ankle shackles and handcuffed before being examined. He was still wearing the metal ankle shackles when officers started examining his body.
For about a month, I was in real distress because as a mother, I knew something was wrong.
Sharon says the jail had taken away Andrew's visiting rights because he had gotten himself into trouble. She and Cardi wrote letters to the sheriff and visited the jail trying to see him. But the letters were never delivered, and jail staff wouldn't let them see Andrew. She suspected there must be something wrong with his medication. She didn't know what was wrong, but she just had a feeling.
And I had a dream, and my son came, my middle son, the one just older than Andrew, came to me and said, Mom, Andrew is dead. And I said, don't ever say that to me. And he said, no, it's true. He's gone. And I woke up. It was so real.
About a week and a half later, at nearly midnight on January 22nd, Sharon and Cardi couldn't sleep. They usually go to bed around 8 or 9 at night. There was a knock on the door, and Sharon stayed in bed, and Cardi got up to answer it. It was two police officers.
Cardi came upstairs, and he looked at me, and he said, in the very same voice, "Andrew's gone." And I said, "Don't say that." He said, "It's true." It was exactly the same scenario. And I knew it was true, but I had been in so much pain. And it was just like, how could this be?
Very little was known to the public about Andrew's death at the beginning. The San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's Office issued a press release the next afternoon. The release said Andrew was placed in a glass observation cell in the jail because he, quote, had been striking and inflicting injury on himself. It made no mention Andrew had been placed in the restraint chair. According to the press release, jail staff checked on and monitored Andrew, quote, approximately every 15 minutes, and that he was under the continual care of a physician when he was in the glass observation cell. It said jail staff found him unconscious in his cell and began providing emergency life-saving attention to revive him. And it said there were, quote, no outward signs of trauma on Holland's body and, quote, no foul play is suspected. This immediately struck Karen Veeley as suspicious. Veeley runs a website called Cal Coast News and lost a closely watched libel lawsuit in 2017. But it was Veeley who contacted the Hollands, telling them her sources at the jail said Andrew had been strapped naked to a restraint chair for nearly 2 days. It was Veeley who urged the family to seek a second autopsy. Tave Holland, Andrew's cousin, is now an attorney with an office near downtown San Luis Obispo. He says he had a hard time believing what Veeley said happened to his cousin.
She's a controversial character, and I understand why. But whatever controversies surround her and her reporting, pretty much everything that she told me was dead on accurate. Essentially, Karen and I had to develop very quickly some level of trust with each other because I didn't know her well enough to take what she was saying and take that to my aunt and uncle and say, I need you guys to do another autopsy. These are all the things that are happening. I needed to hear it from the sources.
Veeley convinced her sources to talk to Tave.
They were bothered very deeply by what they saw, and eventually some of them were willing to talk. And when you hear the same story, you know, when you hear a story that you can't believe from one person, it's one thing, but when you hear that same unbelievable story more or less in the same details from 3, 4, 5, even 6 people.
Tave knew he had to convince his Aunt Sharon and Uncle Cardi to get a second autopsy on Andrew's body. Eventually, they agreed. In the first autopsy, performed by a contract forensic pathologist who is no longer working for the county, the cause of death is a right intrapulmonary embolism. Essentially, a blood clot that formed in his leg traveled to his lung and suffocated him. In autopsies, the cause is the medical reason for the death. The manner is a characterization of how the medical reason happened, whether it was natural, suicide, homicide, accidental. After receiving the final autopsy report, San Luis Obispo County Senior Deputy Coroner Jason Caron certified Andrew's manner of death as, quote, natural, essentially saying the clot naturally formed in Andrew's body. The second autopsy found the same cause of death, right intrapulmonary embolism. The key is the autopsy's performer's opinion on the matter of the death. Dr. Duck Van Duong said Andrew must have been restrained for a long period of time prior to the death because it was in his opinion that the blood clot formed from prolonged immobility. Tave says the second autopsy was crucial because the first autopsy
concluded that this was a natural causes death and that the most he would give was that possibly the chair and the time in the chair restrained was possibly a contributory factor, but would not in any way acknowledge that it could have been a direct factor in his death. And that's some next level horse.
On February 25th, Veeley published an article on the Cal Coast News website reporting Andrew had been strapped naked to a restraint chair and placed in a glass cell for nearly 2 days, citing accounts from anonymous county employees. At that point, Tave brought in another lawyer. He says he felt too close to this case to work on it himself, so he found Paula Canny, a lawyer from the Bay Area, through somebody he went to law school with who now works for her. About a month and a half after Andrew's death, Tave says San Luis Obispo County Sheriff Ian Parkinson requested to meet with him. The reason given, according to Tave, is that the sheriff felt the Hollins needed to, quote, get the answers that they deserve. Tave says just the two of them met in the sheriff's office for about 4 hours, and that the sheriff didn't dispute the main details of the Cal Coast News article, except that Andrew wasn't naked, that he had a blanket on him at all times while he was in the chair. It's typical American jail protocol when inmates are at risk of suicide or injuring themselves at their own volition. They are strapped nude so that they have no material in which to do themselves harm. Tave also alleges when he asked the sheriff why Andrew wasn't allowed to get up to use the bathroom, the sheriff said it wasn't possible at the time.
I said something to the effect of, Ian, for God's sake, why? Why didn't they let him up to go to the bathroom? In addition to being the humane thing to do, it could have saved his life.
To prevent blood clots, jail staff is expected to perform range of motion exercises, releasing a limb one at a time and massaging and moving the joint around to promote blood flow. Tave says the sheriff told him that when the jail staff was performing these exercises on Andrew,
he's punching, he's kicking, he's lashing out at staff in such a violent way. He described him as a wild animal, acting like a wild animal.
Sheriff Parkinson's office declined repeated requests over the past 6 months for an interview with KCBX. Parkinson also declined to comment on the existence of the meeting and what Tave says happened during it. A little over a month later, Tave says he and the Hollins lawyer, Paula Canny, met with San Luis Obispo County Council. Tave was aware that there was security footage at the jail and in the cell Andrew was in for those 2 days. He requested that the video be made available to them. What they saw on the footage shocked them. Tave says the biggest thing that came from viewing the video was that Andrew was not violent in any of the footage. He was peacefully put in the chair, and when jail staff performed range of motion exercises, Andrew hardly moved.
Well, when I see the actual video footage, then, this is really what floored me and just sort of left me gutted. What I really wasn't prepared for was how docile he was, how unaggressive, how compliant he was, and the utter needlessness of the whole thing.
The surveillance videotape of Andrew's time in the chair has not been made available to the public, despite public information requests from multiple media organizations, including KCBX News. While reporting for KCBX News, I was given access to portions of this footage, observing nearly 24 interactions jail staff and nurses had with Andrew while he was in the chair. And in those portions of the footage, Andrew never attacked or gave any sort of indication that he was going to attack nurses or jail staff. In the video portions I viewed, there were times when Andrew's blanket, which jail staff had placed on his lap, fell to the ground. Jail staff passed by the glass observation cell and did not enter to replace the blanket. The footage provided to KCBX News was part of a documentary the Holland family made for the mediation process. The Holland family says they don't want the video to be released to the public for privacy reasons, but they want the public to know exactly what happened to Andrew so that the county and society can address the human root of the problem. Here's Cardi Holland speaking about the county.
If they really wanted transparency, they would want the public to see the video and just take it on right up front, and then it will help the public to help fund the necessary changes.
Tave says the policies and procedures that were in place last January would have saved Andrew's life if they had been followed, and that just making the policy stricter won't fix anything. Roughly 6 months after Andrew's death, San Luis Obispo County made a settlement with the Hollins for $5 million. At the time, the county's attorney, Rita Neal, said the county opted for the settlement to avoid a lengthy legal battle with the Holland family. The Hollins say they are using the money to try to help others who are struggling with mentally ill family members.
Cardi says it all the time that great suffering.
Has the opportunity for great redemption. You always ask those tough questions of why. But we've been asking that tough question for 20 years because of the life of a schizophrenic, especially somebody that recognizes the possibility and fullness of life and not being able to have it is excruciating to watch.
They say they frequently get calls from people who have family members struggling with similar issues that Andrew faced. Music today comes from Evgeny Rogozin, Mr. Dre, Mop Laser, and Poddington Bear. And special thanks to KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Bree Zender. Thanks for listening.